Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. In His flesh He has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So He came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. In Him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This was our scripture reading. May it be that through the guidance of God's Spirit, you and I would receive what God intended for us this morning. My friends, in my study, and I think in many pastor studies across the nation and maybe the world, there's one little book that has nothing to do with theology. It's called The Gospel of Peanuts. And maybe you've seen the little book, The Gospel of Peanuts. And I've learned through the years since I first got it to pull it out from time to time when I'm seeking to illustrate a thought, a message, because many a true word are spoken in jest. And that's exactly what I thought this time when I read about Lucy and Linus, who had a chicken wishbone, and they were about to pull it apart to make a wish. Did you also do it as children? We definitely did, even in another country. And first of all, Lucy was explaining to Linus how the wishbone really works. So one of Linus's questions was, and do I have to say my wish out loud? Lucy says, of course. If you don't say it out loud, it simply won't come true. And then she makes her wish. She said, I wish for 4 new sweaters, a new bike, a new pair of skates, a new dress, and $100. Wow, how do you follow that? So Lina said, well, I wish for a long life for all my friends. I wish for world peace. I wish for great advancements in medical research. At that point, Lucy takes the wishbone and throws it away. Linus, that's the trouble with you. You always spoil everything. Well, you know, it does spoil things, to be honest, does it not? When into our self-centered, materialistic, divided world comes one who is able to forget his own needs, to look to the needs of us all, of you and me. And if you bring all this together, friends, that is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. To move away from our self-centeredness and to enter into a new life literally a new world that is different from the old. I remember a time late in the previous century when things were going pretty well in the world. It was shortly after the Cold War. At that time there were no huge wars, and we lived in a time where many people were hopeful that finally we had put the terrible arms race with the Soviet Union behind us. And there was something, not overall, but many people had a spirit of feeling better about the future. It's now about 15 years later. And contrary to the hopes and expectations of many in the previous century, our world today, I'm sad to say, has not improved at all. As a matter of fact, so many new bad things have happened since then that I think it's fair to say that our world today is more divided maybe than ever before. That's true of the world. We know that. We hear it on the news every day. But it goes beyond that. If you look to Christianity as one of the great religions in the world, you will say, well, Christianity is built around unity, around forgiveness, about new life, about changing things. Then I have to report, but you know it already, that Christianity is still divided within itself. And they call the church the body of Christ. And the so-called body of Christ, the church, has ripped itself into even more fragments than before. The divisions of society also became evident in our churches. And during the past week, we once again heard about huge Christian churches thinking of separating within themselves and going a different direction because they cannot agree on certain issues. Church battles that should be only a memory are still raging. And there are not only walls between many of the different denominations, but often divisions within. Families of faith become broken, lose their message, because their message has to do with turning to a suffering world in response to the call of Christ. And that simply falls by the wayside. The message gets lost because God's people in the churches have become so busy with other things, battling about trivial things, that we often despair and silently pray, O God, have mercy on us. Goes even deeper than that. Hostility exists between so many families. I can say far too many families. Between fathers and mothers. Between parents and their children. Or one or more of them. It's part of our daily experience. And this is not new. It's been part of my daily experience for many years in ministry. To be told about, to see, to hear about broken and breaking families. There are at least two painful empty spaces in this church this morning. Because of members of ours that got separated quietly. And they left us because they couldn't stand the thought of exposing themselves and their pain and their misery. Oh, I wish I could tell them how much love awaited them if they were only able to share with us the pain that they were going through. Now I've really made you all very sad. And that was not my purpose. Well, there is also a lighter side. A comedian recently said, well, if it weren't for marriage, husbands and wives and children would have to fight with strangers. In this reality that we're living in, that we're trying to make sense of, that we're trying to arm ourselves against, in this reality, while the walls of hatred, misunderstanding and separation are still everywhere to be seen, we possess, we received in and through Christ a gospel message. And the message, we read it in Scripture this morning, an unchanging message that Jesus Christ, more than 2,000 years ago, stormed these walls of separation and with his own body broke them down. And with that I mean, opened to us to the challenge to start breaking down the walls, separating humanity. Those who embrace their faith in Jesus Christ can tell you that there is not a wall so high that it cannot be climbed. There is not a wall so thick that it cannot be broken down. There is not a wall so strong that it cannot be destroyed. Hear what the Bible says. For he, referring to Christ, he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. And then when I pray for people in the land of my birth, I pray, O God, that the day would come that they will be able to break down the gates separating people from people, that they can end the day when people have to live in fear for one another. Because the message of Scripture, the message of our faith is that Christ's vision is building a new, a changed, a different humanity. Because into such a broken world came our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yes, we can. After studying the Bible, we can answer the one question, why did he come? Friends, amongst all, he came to tear down walls. Listen what the apostle says. He says, for he is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Well, if Christ has broken it down, if we truly believe, if we belong to Christ with our heart and our body and soul, then sometimes we have to stop for a moment. And we have to do some introspection. God knows I had to do it before I could come into this pulpit this morning. And I had to ask myself, first of all, before I could ask you, is there a dividing wall of hostility in your life? Are you aware of a dividing wall of hostility within your family? Are you aware of it in and around you in your community? And then forgive me for getting very personal. But is there a dividing wall of hostility deep within yourself? Have you made peace with your Creator? Have you come to the moment where you say, I want God's way to be my way? I want to change. I want to be touched. I want to be changed because these walls are stifling me. You know, there is something in each and every one of us that cannot live with a wall. We want it down. Jesus looked around him and he saw the walls of his day, and it is clear that he wanted them down. And he set the example. There were walls between Jews and Samaritans. And he did something there by the well of Sychar with the Samaritan woman. We know the story. Starting, illustrating, demonstrating the message. Oh, Jesus, you know that. I don't have to tell you. It's 2,000 years later. They're still destroying one another. Countless millions have died, but it goes on and on. Oh, God, within our Christianity, we say that we're seeking for unity. And there are still so many walls between the super righteous, the righteous, and the sinners. Oh, that's a false identification. The super righteous are also sinners. You can't really divide them up, because we've discovered that when we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, then our richest gain count but loss. There are still walls, humongous walls, between fallen humanity and God. I knew it was presumptuous of me when I chose the title for this morning, Creating a New Humanity. I knew that it would be another voice against the odds. Maybe a quiet voice, drowned out by so many other. But this is the message of Jesus Christ. And woe to me if I pretend that all is well. I've met people all my life, and I'm sure you have, who are like medieval castles. They have built high walls around themselves, not because they wanted to be bad. They just wanted to be kept safe from being hurt by a merciless world. So they are trying to protect themselves emotionally by permitting no exchange of feelings with others. No one can enter. And they feel they are secure against attack. I've seen them. I've been called to be with them, many of them, throughout my life. And I have often left a discussion to which I went prayerfully and with so much hope, and getting back in my car, saying, Oh God, oh God, I couldn't scale this wall. I couldn't break through. There was no way. There was no opening. Can anyone still enter into that life? But at the same time, I've learned that the occupant of such a medieval castle finds him or her oh so lonely. Oh, so scared, even while they are rattling around their castles, so alone. The castle dweller is a self-made prisoner, and somehow Christ can break that wall down. He or she needs to feel loved by someone, by people like you and me, calling ourselves followers of the man of Nazareth. Do you know personally what it is like to live behind such walls? Do you even attend church with the thought in your heart, well, I've given God many a chance and it never worked. I shall listen, I shall pretend, but ask me, am I serious about my faith? Are you kidding? Been doing it since I was a child. Friend, then you need to somehow look in the mirror and then look up to God and to say, Jesus Christ can break down these walls. Teach me, guide me, lead me, O Spirit of God. These walls need to be broken down. Because the good news is that Christ can destroy all the walls that separate us from one another and from God. No matter where or what those walls may be. Some years ago, I told a story from this pulpit, so deeply touching, so life-changing, that I'm risking to tell you again about an incident that took place in the Middle East about 4 years ago. We heard it in the news and in the newspapers about the two young men who were on the brink of death and landed in the same Israeli hospital. One of them was Palestinian and the other one Israeli. And the Israeli was at the end of his earthly life. He was already brain dead, young and wounded. Yes, he was a soldier shot by Palestinians in an ambush in the Gaza Strip. But the other man in the same hospital at that time who needed the heart was a Palestinian. So the miracle happened, so much so that it was reported around the world that that Israeli family gave consent, and the transplant took place in that very same Jerusalem hospital. And the Israeli died. And from that moment on, his heart was beating in the body of a Palestinian. And, you know, if you think about it, that's something that would shake people living in hatred. That was a message so clear, it couldn't become clearer. So you may ask, what happened after this? Did it foster peace between the two groups? Well, you know the answer. When the news broke, there was a storm of protest. Israelis were in a rage that the heart of one of theirs should be in the body of a Palestinian. And they did not keep quiet. They protested. And ironically, the man who actually received the heart a bit later had to go into hiding to escape the rage, not of the Israelis, but of his own people. That's why I'm telling you the story again. I cannot think of an example illustrating more clearly the senselessness of what's going on, not only there, but across the world and often in our midst. I think that widow of the dead Israeli demonstrated, I don't know whether they're Christians or not, it's not so important, but that was a demonstration of the words of Jesus. course, the newspapers say that she said, "If a person, no matter who, can be saved, I feel I have done God's will." Many years ago, in that hospital, a wall tumbled down, but was hardly noticed. There are other walls still to go, and you can see that I've tried to spread the examples from international right to our own hearts, because that's where the walls exist. Not only out there, but also in here. And the message of Scripture is that the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ offer to you and me an axe, a hammer, a bulldozer to break down the walls of hate and separation. We have a task to fulfill. We did not only come to church to fill our own needs, but to go from here and to do something if we heard a voice coming to us through worship. The direct question, have you built a wall around your own heart? Let me proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Allow Christ to break down that wall, and you will never regret it. There may be someone, I don't know anything about your private life, there may be someone waiting, hoping and praying that you would do just that. Waiting for your call, waiting for your visit, waiting for your forgiveness. Was a new humanity born in Jesus Christ? Well, we can't see much of it. Oh yes, I can. Because I'm facing men and women who once again heard the message of our Savior. Go then. Let's break down the walls. And as far as the wall around my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen.